Okay, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for Christ, our solid rock. And thank you for the firm foundation we have for our faith in the Word of God that you have made sure for us. And I pray, O Father, that you would increase our faith this evening, not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ and his promise to us that he will hold us fast. I pray as we study endurance for the next 4 weeks that we would understand what is necessary to reach heaven, but we would also know that you have made the provision for us to reach heaven, and thank you that you protect us and provide for us. So guide us, we pray, as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're, as I said this morning, we're beginning a four-week study on endurance, and then I believe I'll be going to a counseling conference in Lafayette, Indiana, and then after that, Lord willing, we'll probably look at 2 Peter. But I was very interested and started on my own personal study of Hebrews 11 and was just thought it was fascinating, and I wanted to pass it on to you as well because we all have need of endurance. And I think if you've been a Christian for any length of time or just a human, you've been there where you say, this is where I am. I'm right here, and I need to get here, and I'm not sure. I have no clue how I'm going to make it. And maybe it's as simple as, you know, a college freshman looking at your final exams. Like, I have no idea how I'm going to take 5 final exams. It might be going to parenting and workplace and education and things like that. Sometimes we wonder how we're going to get from point A to point B. You know, for every Christian, there's going to be short hardships that will have to be endured. But every Christian is going to have to make it to heaven. So point A is now, and point B is heaven. So every Christian must endure to the end. The goal we should have in front of us as Christians is not how will I reach retirement or how will I endure the surgery, but how will I reach heaven? So that's our ultimate goal, to reach Jesus. You know, when life is easy, heaven seems easy to reach, yet far away. Encounter that? When life is easy, heaven seems easy to reach, yet it seems far away because life is fine. No reason to move on just yet. But when life is hard, heaven can often seem hard to reach, yet not that far away. There are times when we just want to throw in the towel. I've had it. That's enough. I give up. Every Christian needs endurance to make it to heaven. Because of this, I want to spend this evening and the following 3 weeks building your endurance through the Word of God. So God knows we need endurance, and he has given us the resources so we can endure until heaven. So I want to spend our time then in Hebrews 11. So what I want to do this evening is look at Hebrews 11 in its context. So we're going to start in chapter 10 and go to chapter 12 and just look at it in its context. Why is it here in the book of Hebrews, and what are some big picture things we can learn from Hebrews 11? Now, I would assume almost all of you are familiar with Hebrews 11, that it is speaking about those from the Old Testament who lived by faith. And by faith is repeated over and over again throughout this chapter. So if you're looking at it just by itself, you might be inclined to say, well, clearly the author of Hebrews wanted to define what faith is, because he does in a couple of verses of Hebrews 11. But, yes, the author does define faith, but more importantly, he speaks of faith because it is by faith that we endure to reach heaven. So that's going to help us to understand that this is not just a dictionary about what faith is. This is showing us how we endure to get to heaven, and it is by faith, as the saints that gone before us have done. So if you have your outlines, I'm going to talk about the context of endurance. So I'm going to read some verses in Hebrews leading up to chapter 11, then read our passage before we move on. So the context of endurance. Because of persecution, the believers the author addresses are tempted to give up on Jesus. So if you're serving Jesus and you get hurt for it, well, whenever you get hurt doing something in life, you often say, why am I doing this? Do I really want to inflict myself with more pain? And so they were getting persecuted for Christ's sake, and they wanted to bail on Jesus. They are struggling to endure. Because Jesus is the only Savior, the only priest, mediator, we have, leaving Christ will lead us to destruction. Wedded together in this letter are the majesty of Jesus and the call for endurance. So if you read through the book of Hebrews, and I encourage you to do that in the next 3 weeks, read through the book of Hebrews, it takes half an hour. Majesty of Jesus, call for endurance. And you're going to see them wedded together throughout this letter. How amazing Jesus is, and how important it is to endure. So we'll start at chapter 1, verse 3. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. There's no one like Jesus. He's God of very God, and he himself alone has forgiven our sins. And he reigns at the right hand of God the Father. Chapter 2, verse 1. Because of the majesty of Jesus, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Don't fall away from these very important things. Chapter 3, verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. How do you know that you are a partaker of Christ? You will endure to the end. And confidence is a big, important word in Hebrews, as you read through. Then, chapter 4, verse 14. And I call this the theme verse of Hebrews because it has those two themes together. The majesty of Jesus with the call to endurance. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Because Jesus is so majestic, he's the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, maybe perhaps confession of faith. And then in chapter 10, almost to our passage, just a verse that talks about what Christ has done for us. But this man is comparing Jesus with the earthly priest who died and could not atone for sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He is finished. His work is finished. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The Christ sacrificed for us is absolutely sufficient to cover our sins and to save us. So again, we have weaved together the calls for endurance with the good news that we have Jesus fighting for us. Jesus is fighting for you if you belong to him. He is fighting for your endurance. And in chapter 10, verse 31, the author has just finished a strong warning about leaving Jesus. Then he begins his call for endurance. Now, King James will use the word patience. If you have a modern translation, it will use the word endurance. I like patience because it shows that we must have the right attitude while we are waiting. So you can wait, and you can wait patiently. Okay? You know the difference. Actually, in Romans 8:25, Paul says, we wait with patience. So there is a waiting that is not patient. So I like patience, that it shows the right attitude in our waiting. But endurance or perseverance is helpful because it shows us that we must bear under something while we wait. So whatever word you like. Now, actually, endurance is used in chapter 12, and I will point that out. So it is not a mere waiting. There is suffering that must be endured. So I'm going to read chapter 10, verse 32, through chapter 12, verse 3. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock. So they were made a public spectacle in front of everyone, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. So these people were getting robbed of their possessions, and they took it joyfully, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance, which that's the idea of possession. So your possessions are being taken away on earth, but you know you have great possessions in heaven. 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Again, there's that word, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. That's that word, endurance or patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So you endure so you can get the promise. 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, that's destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's that word substance again. It's a different one than in 34. This could be the reality or the confidence of things hoped for. In chapter 3, verse 14, the King James translates the same word as confidence. So I think confidence is probably a better way to go. Now, faith is the confidence of the things that are hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And thinking about all the saints in the Old Testament. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, so taken up into heaven, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he hath this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he had died, made mention of the parting of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying, archaic word for attempting, to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight to the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured. So that's the verb of patience. So patient and endurance, it's a related word. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So the call for endurance. So first, the danger of giving up. The book of Hebrews is very clear, and I encourage you to read it in the next several weeks. If you give up on Jesus, you will be lost. Let me read again, chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And if you look at chapter 10, verse 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And we go to chapter 6 and other places. So if you bail on Christ, you're lost. And that's a key to the book of Hebrews. So the danger is real that someone may think that they are a Christian, but when the fire of persecution comes, they will run and prove that they were never saved in the first place. And the encouragement in all of this is that the author of Hebrews believes that his readers will not bail on Jesus. So look at verse 39 of chapter 10. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of their soul. And then in chapter 6, he says to them, after strongly warning that if you bail on Christ, you're lost, he says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. So there's a strong warning, And he gives it, but he believes his readers know Jesus and will be saved in the end. So why in the world would the author of Hebrews warn Christians that if they bail on Christ, they're lost? And why would I warn you today, whom I know, believe in Jesus Christ, that if you bail on Christ, you'll be lost? So why are these warnings here in the book of Hebrews? So one of the ways that God helps us endure is by warning us of the danger of not enduring. So one of the ways that God helps us endure is by warning us of the danger of not enduring. It's not the only way or the primary way that God fights for our endurance, but it is one of the ways. So if these warnings are like, whatever, to you, that should be scary, that these warnings don't scare you just a little bit as a Christian. Because you know in yourself, you could fall away if it wasn't for the grace of Christ. The correct response of the Christian to these warnings is this: I must endure if I will reach heaven. God, give me the grace to endure. So I think that's what these warnings do for the Christian. They say, God, I need you to finish the race. Help me. And we look to Jesus for strength to finish the race. So everyone that God saves will get to heaven. Don't get me wrong. But there are a class of Christians, so-called Christians, who will not make it to heaven because they truly do not know Jesus Christ. And I actually want to talk about this after Easter. So if you have questions about that, I'll try to answer those questions if you can wait. A short sermon series after Easter. But the reason of these warnings are to encourage us to endure, because we know if we don't endure, this is not good. So then thirdly, the examples of endurance. The way we endure is by faith. The only way we will make it to heaven is by trusting that God is faithful. In chapter 11, the author sets before his readers example after example of Old Testament men and women who endured by faith. Now, we live in a culture that is obsessed with celebrities. Now, that's kind of why they're celebrities. It's because we're obsessed about these certain people. Hebrews 11 is not a list of Old Testament celebrities. Let's be very clear. This is not a list of, wow, look at these amazing characters from the Old Testament. This is a retelling of the Old Testament story focusing on the faith of the characters. They did what God told them to do. They trusted him and they obeyed him. Now, I've heard Hebrews 11 called the Hall of Faith. The Hall of Faith. Like the Hall of Fame for baseball or whatever. This Hebrews 11 is not a Hall of Fame for those of great faith. And that is not the point. Like Noah, by faith, batted 600 home runs. Abraham, by faith, was the greatest shortstop to ever live. The point of Hebrews 11 is not that these people got into the Hall of Fame, but that they all played the game. The only way to play the game is by faith. All these people played different positions on the baseball field. Some of them were better than others. Some of them we don't know much about. But all of them played the game. The goal of the Christian is not to make it into the Hall of Fame, but to play the game and finish it well. The only way to do that is to put on your cleats and to pick up your bat. Be in the game. Or, as Hebrews 11 says, live by faith. We will look at these characters in Hebrews 11 over the next 3 weeks. Their example should encourage us. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12 says this. The author wants his readers to be followers of them who through faith and patience, there's endurance again, inherit the promises. So even in chapter 6, he wants them to be followers or examples of them who through faith and endurance inherit the promises. But however encouraging the example of Noah or Abraham or Moses is, there is only one person who can give us strength to endure, and that is Jesus. So the power for endurance. While all these people in Hebrews 11 live by faith, Jesus is the one who makes our faith possible. Abraham can't make your faith possible. Only Jesus can. We look to Jesus as our ultimate example. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider his example of endurance. We will never suffer as much as Jesus. So he understands any suffering we're going through. We have not faced the suffering he has, and he still endured. Therefore, consider Jesus in the fight of faith. Jesus is also our compassionate high priest. We come through him to God to receive grace and mercy in our time of need. Abraham and Moses can't give you grace and mercy. Jesus can give you grace and mercy in our time of need. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's who our Jesus is. So our faith separated from its object is nothing. The importance of faith is not that in its power, but in its object. So important. What is key about the Christian's faith is that it's in something that is solid. Believing in Jesus gives you all the power you need to endure until heaven. But that power is not from our faith. It is from Jesus, given to us by faith. So if you have Jesus, you have God's power to endure in life all the way to the joy of heaven. So that's kind of what Hebrews 11 is teaching. How do you endure in the Christian life? By faith in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, then, the culture against endurance. The culture against endurance. When we live in our world, and in our culture, and in our society, as a fish in water. It's hard to escape our society. We know it's different, but it's hard to label the ways that it affects us. And that leads me to ask, what does our culture think about endurance? Is it how the Bible speaks about endurance? Where must we be on our guard against cultural distortion of endurance? Now, I was saying, our culture does honor some forms of endurance. Think about athletes. I would think that would be the primary example where endurance is honored. Athletes endure painful training over many years to achieve a high level of performance. If you become a professional athlete, you may earn millions of dollars for the fruit of your endurance and performance. Olympic athletes train and train and train for the big games every 4 years. Hard work, endurance, and patience are rewarded and honored. Some athletes even reach what we call celebrity status. As I consider these cultural examples of endurance, it seems that people are often praised for endurance when it is fulfilling to them. So, you ever met a professional athlete that like hates the game? Man, I love the $20 million paycheck, man. I hate playing football. You don't normally see that coming across, okay? So I think our culture is excited about endurance when someone finds it fulfilling. I was born to play baseball, or I can't imagine not running marathons. Well, I can. It is often endurance that is not self-fulfilling that is overlooked or marginalized. Think of a Christian who sticks it out in a hard marriage in obedience to Christ, or someone who suffers silently with depression, or someone who lives with chronic pain. Our culture would glorify those who leave hard marriages or those who opt for physician-assisted suicide instead of enduring chronic pain or a slow and agonizing death. So I say, yes, but no. Does our culture honor endurance? There is nothing necessarily glorious about endurance and patience in the Christian life. The point of Hebrews 11 is not that endurance is extraordinary, but endurance is completely normal. We are looking forward to something that is glorious. Jesus endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him. And next week, I want to focus on this idea of reward that is set before us, the promises and the rewards that are set before us that give us an incentive to reach out for them. All these people in Hebrews 11 are looking forward to something they could not see. So here are three reasons we will struggle with endurance. First, I mean, we're going to struggle with endurance because we're a bunch of sinners. But because our culture trivializes endurance, we must be on our guard that we think endurance is a strange thing. So let's be on guard. Sometimes our culture thinks enduring is a strange thing when it's just easier to bail on whatever is causing you hardship. So let's be on our guard against these three things. The first one is that we don't want to wait. We don't want to wait. One pastor put it this way: churches in America are on a weight loss diet. W-A-I-T, loss. We don't want to wait. You know, with Amazon Prime, you can routinely get a package in a day or two. But because that is enough, Amazon is testing a drone service that will get you your package in under an hour. So we just can't wait. You know, waiting in line is the worst thing ever. It will almost kill you if you have to wait in line at the DMV. The Bible says that Abraham waited 25 years for a child. God told him, you know, Abraham, you're going to have descendants like the stars in the sky. So Abraham waited a year, and then he waited another year, and then he waited an entire decade, and then another decade. And finally, the child came when he was 100 years old. Noah spent decades constructing the ark. Like, what are you doing today? I'm going to work on the ark. Decade after decade after decade. Moses spent 40 years. That's a career in our lives. You know, that's a career for someone. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness tending sheep before God called him and used him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Endurance often means waiting a really long time. Secondly, we don't want to be bored. If we have to wait, we better not be bored while we do so. As one song from the 90s says, "Here we are now, entertain us." If we are bored, we can switch on the TV or the radio or the computer or look at our smartphone. Being bored is really bad. Think of Abraham. He managed a mobile farm in the desert for 150 years. Now, I like farms and I like animals, but staring at sheep in the desert for 150 years does not sound that exciting. It's like, maybe, Abraham, you've been doing this for about 100 years. Maybe you should have a career change or something like that, something more exciting. Verse 38 of Hebrews 11 mentions that some people lived by faith, wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. When you live in a cave, it doesn't come with cable TV and a refrigerator. Just think about it. You had nothing to do. Endurance is often not that exciting. And maybe it can be, but sometimes there's long stretches of doing the same thing, and that's okay. Thirdly, we don't want to suffer. Our culture is bent on avoiding suffering, and we want to be comfortable. If you watch commercials, there seems to be this war going on to who can create the most comfortable mattress that will solve all your sleeping problems that you have. Resist the urge to live for your comfort. Pain and suffering are a part of the human existence, and they are necessary for your Christian growth. Preachers today who teach the prosperity and gospel imply that something is wrong with you if you are suffering. God doesn't want you to be poor, sick, and weak. He wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and comfortable. That's false teaching, by the way. Heresy. One of these people in Hebrews 11, it could have been the prophet Isaiah, got sawn in two. We'll just pause right there. He got sawn in two with a saw. God doesn't say, "Don't worry, that won't happen to you. I have better plans for you than to get sawn in two with a saw." God commends this man for his faith, for enduring as the saw came toward him. Have you ever wondered, which way did they saw him in two? Where did they start? How long did it take? I don't want to be gruesome, but this is some extreme suffering here. And he endured by faith. And he's commended. It's not necessary to die that way, to be burned at the stake or be sawn in two. But suffering is one way we get to heaven. So if you get sawn in two because of Christ, that will be completely normal. It's not extraordinary, okay? It is completely normal if you get hacked in two because you're a Christian. And I think that's why Hebrews 11 is here. Enduring suffering is what every Christian does on their way to heaven. For us, we live in a very strange time because we have many comforts and we're not necessarily persecuted entirely for our faith. Endurance is needed because there is suffering. So application then, close this up. Endurance is normal. You may say, Pastor, I wanted to be encouraged this evening about enduring. How is saying being sawn in two is completely normal helpful to me this evening? I think that it is comforting to know that it is entirely normal to be sawn in two for the cause of Christ. Okay? I think it is comforting and encouraging in this way. Think about the first time you held a baby or the being a first-time dad. You know, the first several diapers a baby produces are black and sticky. What's wrong with my child? You know, is he part alien or something like that? And then your wife or the nurse tells you, you know what, this is entirely normal for your child to do this. I was like, okay, I feel better now. Or when you first discover that babies have a soft spot on their heads, you're like, ma'am, your baby has a hole in its skull. You should take it to the doctor right now. There's something wrong here. And then you say, oh, that's entirely normal. All babies have that. Or as parents, when your child begins to teethe for the first time. You know, the parents are tearing their hair out, literally. And parents who have been through all that say, yeah, that sounds about right. And then you call your parents and say, did I do this when I was a child? And they say, yes. And I'm so sorry, Mom and Dad, that I put you through all that. So, in our endurance, we need the encouragement that, number one, this is completely normal for the Christian life. Peter writes to his readers in 1 Peter 4, says, don't be surprised by the fiery trials that come among you. This is normal. For us, it's strange when we suffer because we're in a culture that avoids suffering and we're not persecuted for our faith. So it is completely normal for the Christian life. And number two, Hebrews 11, another reason for Hebrews 11, others have been there and they survived. It's going to be okay. Others have been through there and have survived. So I think that is why Hebrews 11 is here. Endurance is by faith in Christ. It is completely normal for the Christian life, and others have been there and survive. So we can endure by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this evening together and that we could look at your word. Thank you for the example of the Old Testament saints who endured by faith. Thank you for Jesus Christ who gives us the power to endure. So Father, help us to understand that endurance is entirely normal in the Christian life. Give us the strength to reach the reward. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.